Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew. Today, Pastor Matthew brings a very important and sobering word entitled Believer's Final Judgment, preached August 16th, 2020. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning with verse 31.
Christ came first time as Savior to die for our sins in our place to save those who believe in Jesus. The Holy Spirit regenerates the elect dead sinners that they may repent of their sins, believe in Jesus, and obey Jesus, and love one another. In 1 John, I wrote a book on 1 John. It consists of 4 pages, and I studied the word love in verb form and noun form, appears 44 times. It tells you that if you are born of God, you will love God and love your brothers and sisters. Good works is the proof that you are born again. 1 John 5, 1 through 3. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, Pastor's translation, has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Eternal life. All God's people love sacrificially, even as Christ loved us. The first fruit of the Spirit is sacrificial love. Christ is coming again, not as Savior, but as Judge of all people. Christ is coming again in glory to bless the believers in Jesus and to curse the unbelievers. Blessing consists in eternal life, and curse consists in eternal punishment in hell. Point number one, the judge is coming. He is coming in glory. His enemies cannot spit on his face, slap him, mock him, and crucify him. He is coming in glory. Matthew 17:2, there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and the holy angels with him. He will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. And you don't want to believe in him? When you see him, you will be filled with fear and tremble. He is Jesus, the Son of Man. He is Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always," that is to help you, "to the very end of the age." He has all authority. God commissioned pastors and parents, delegated authority from Jesus Christ. If you disobey your pastor who says, "Believe in Jesus Christ," you are damned forever. Daniel 7:13-14, "In my vision at night I looked. There before me was one like a Son of Man coming with clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." And now listen, he will separate people. Believers on his right, unbelievers on his left. He knows who is who. Most people in this world are damned. They hate Jesus Christ. He will separate people. To the believers, he says, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father. Come, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Eternal life, eternal happiness with God. That is the kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:3-4. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, because he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." Before the creation of the world, God elected us. Do you know that our names are written in the book of life? When you hear the gospel, you will repent and believe. if you are an elect. Point number two, Matthew 25:34-36. Then the King, our Lord Jesus Christ, will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, which is eternal happiness, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." This literally happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out. It was poured out in Los Angeles and spread throughout the world, even my state. And I saw people loving one another sacrificially. If anybody was sick, people will come and fast and pray until you are healed. So I was hungry, and what, sir? You gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. I was a stranger. I was naked. I was sick. And I was in prison. Friends, Christians are brothers and sisters. Christians who believe in Jesus Christ. We belong to the family of God. There is no discrimination in the church, because it is the family of God. We are brothers and sisters of Jesus. Proof I am going to give you. Matthew 12:46-50. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." Now listen. He replied to him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here, disciples, are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Faith in Jesus Christ brings you into the family of God. What is faith in Jesus Christ? Romans 1:5, obedience of faith. Dispensationalism is antinomianism. If you are a brother of Jesus Christ and a sister of Jesus Christ, you will obey the will of God. Hebrews 2:13, in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. We all belong to the same family. We are brothers and sisters. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Jesus is our oldest brother. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. Matthew 25:37-39. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The King Jesus will reply, Listen, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers, believers, and sisters of mine, that is for whom I died on the cross, you did for me. We belong to the family of God. Brothers and sisters, throughout the whole world, I remember in 1960 December, a poor person, a pastor's wife, she knew that I am going to this country. She gave me 5 rupees, $2. And I returned after many years. I looked for her. She died in Christ. I went through Switzerland and I bought a watch and I gave it to her son. And I came here without a watch. I did not have a place to live in 1961. And I look at my address book. My pastor gave me the name of an old believer, Mrs. Habib. I took the train from Oyster Bay and went over to her place. And she received me. And in the morning, took me to a Reformed pastor whose wife recently died. And he said, stay here. And then he took me to the banker. If he needs any money, give it to him from my account. That is Reformed pastor's account. And I lived with him. I did not need any money. He was ready and instructed the banker to give me all the money I needed. Family of God, sir. Brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers. Revelation 20:11-15. He will judge the living and the dead. He will raise them up, sir. All nations will be raised up. He is coming to judge the living and the dead. Your father is going to come. All people will be raised up. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, before the foundation of the world. And your name is in it, and my name is in it. Book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Those who did not believe in Jesus. The Philippian jailer brought Paul and Silas out and asked them, "What must I do to be saved?" They answered him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household." Acts 10:42, Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. 2 Timothy 4:1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. He's coming. Before you die or after you die. 2,000 years went by. He did not come. He will not come until the last elect person believes in Christ. Acts 24:15, Paul said, "And I have the same hope in God as these men, that there will be a resurrection of the righteous and the wicked." John 5:22, "Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son." He's the judge. Acts 17:31, "For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed." Who is the man? Jesus Christ. "He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." Jesus is coming, sir. And most people in the world belong to the devil. 1 John 5:19, "We know that we are children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one," the devil. They are sinning 24/7. Few and many. Matthew 7:13 and 14, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." Two ways. "But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and only a few find it." Only a few believe in Jesus. Most churches are synagogues of Satan. They lack the first mark of the church, preaching the gospel. Here we preach the gospel. We are not asking you for money. The wicked rejected Jesus, and Jesus rejects them in the final judgment. Unbelievers refused to believe in Jesus. They said, what, sir? Educated, they've been to Harvard, sir. Educated people. You know, Harvard was established by ministers of the gospel to train ministers. They said, gospel is a myth. Death is the final destiny of everyone. So make sure you have enough money to retire well. But Jesus is coming in glory as judge to send unbelievers to eternal hell. Matthew 25:41-43, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire. There are evangelicals who don't like eternal fire. They believe in annihilationism. That is not what the Bible says. Eternal life or eternal fire, Holy Spirit said. Prepared for the devil and his angels and every unbeliever. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, you did not look after me. Let me tell you, sir, hell is eternal conscious punishment for the wicked. The unbelievers will ask, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or as a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? Jesus will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these my brothers and sisters and mothers belonging to the family of God, you did not do for me. Let me tell you, Jesus will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of these least of my brothers and sisters, you did not do for me. The final destiny of many is this: they will go away to eternal punishment. Believers are few, the righteous to eternal life, eternal blessing. Point number three, rich in good works is the proof of salvation. Rich in love, rich in sacrificial giving. True believers in Jesus are rich in good works done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2:12-13, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good purpose. Obedience, loving God by loving God's people. And in this church we do that. Jesus is coming again in glory. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord for the glory of God the Father. Before unbelievers are sent to hell eternal, they will bow their knees and confess Jesus Christ is Lord with fear and trembling. We are saved by faith, but faith that saves is not alone. I was studying again Hebrews 11. I was struck. 27 times the word faith is used. Faith is not empty. Noah built the ark by faith. Faith does good works. Abraham sacrificed his son. Faith works. Faith is obedience of faith. Good works are proof that you are saved. James 2, 14 through 17, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Answer is what? No. It's false faith. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Do you know that devil believes in Jesus, but never obeys Jesus? 1 John 3:16 through 18, listen. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possession and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth. 1 John 4:19 through 21, listen. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar, son of the devil. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must love also his brother and sister and mother. Ephesians 4:28, He who has been stealing, what, sir? Steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands. What is the purpose? That he may have something to share with those in need. Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers, family of God. 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 8. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give which he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in good work. Did you read Luke 21, 1 through 4? A poor widow only had 2 copper coins. Edmund Clowney taught us, he said, she had 3 options. One is, I am poor, so God doesn't expect me to give anything. Or, I can give 1 coin, that is 50%. But we are told she gave both coins, 100%. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. And I believe Jesus helped her to live the rest of her life. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That is prepared in eternity. You don't have to tell me to give. I do give, and I don't have to tell you to give. God's people will do God's will. 1 Timothy 6:17 and 18, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good and to be rich in good works, and to be generous and willing to share, especially with God's people. And in this church, we do that. And when revival came, all of a sudden, we practiced everything. As we read in Acts chapter 2, 44 and 45, all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Acts 4:32-35, all believers were one in heart and mind, unity. No one claimed that any of his possessions were his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all, and there were no needy persons among them. That's what we do. We are instructed to find out through fellowship whether there is a needy person. From time to time, those who owned lands and houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. James 1:27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Theoretical understanding the gospel will damn you. Experimental understanding of the gospel will save you. So, we have four marks. Word preached by pious and learned pastors. Two sacraments, baptism and the Holy Communion. Discipline, which simply express in two words. What are they? You go. All four soils are in the church, and the first three soils, in due time, you go. That is expressing discipline. And finally, we added one, fellowship. Don't come to church and go home quickly. If you are a brother and sister and mother, then you linger and find out through fellowship what your needs are. And you sacrifice yourself to give it to them. Find out who needs. It's your brother. It's your sister. Finally, conclusion, sir. Lazarus was poor. He went to heaven. The rich man expected to go to heaven. Why? He was rich. And there was an understanding. Rich people are true believers. Rich man expected to go to heaven because he was rich, but he went to hell in fire, in agony, in torment, and became a believer, but cannot help out, cannot get out. He said, I have five brothers. They don't believe in Jesus. The rich young ruler refused to obey God. He refused to sell all he had and give it to the poor and to be a disciple of Jesus. His God was money and power and degrees and big houses. Understanding of final judgment motivates true believers first to believe in Jesus and do good works. Holy living, household evangelism. Philippian jailer was told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and his household. So first order of business is believe in Jesus Christ and practice holy living, household evangelism to help the family of God. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Number five, not fear death. To be generous in giving, as the widow with 2 copper coins. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. And finally, anticipate living with God in the new heaven and new earth forever in eternal happiness. Every elect sinner will experience regeneration of the Holy Spirit, that he or she will repent and believe in Jesus Christ and obey his will and be rich in good works, labor of love, especially toward the family of God. You will see brothers and sisters in heaven, and they will thank you for giving me $2, 5 rupees in December 1960. It is what we do in the name of Jesus will be rewarded. Then we shall hear from Jesus, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." That is the purpose of human existence. May God help each one of us to hear these words of eternal benediction from Jesus our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for electing us in eternity. And you wrote our names in the book of life. And you sent someone to preach the gospel. And your Holy Spirit regenerated us. We repented of our sins, and you justified us. And your Holy Spirit indwells in us, guiding us every step of the way. Lord, how can we thank you for saving us? Help us to live for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Grace Valley Christian Center is committed to the unchanging truth of the Holy Scriptures. We have been proclaiming the whole counsel of God since 1974 through our weekly worship services, our website resources, and our publishing ministry. For more information about our church, to find more edifying sermons, or to order books by the Reverend P.G. Matthew, please visit our website at gracevalley.org.